on your part.
And here we go. Hey, welcome to the On Track and Field podcast. I'm JT Ayers, your host. And if you're listening to this podcast, you're in for a treat because this is going to be different than usual. The reason why it's going to be different is because this is our 100th episode.
Yay!
We've done 100 of these bad boys, and it's pretty remarkable. It's amazing even just to be here. So with me today is the CEO of On Track and Field and RelayBatons.com. If you've heard the podcast, and I'm sure you have, because who hasn't, right? You've heard his voice at the very end of every podcast, and I usually say something really goofy and funny to him, but his name is Steve Ringgold. Steve, thanks for joining me.
Hey, T. It's kind of weird for me. I'm not usually on this side of this, so this is kind of awesome.
Oh, man. Well, I'm excited that you're here because we are going to just draw back that curtain. We're going to talk about this podcast. We're going to talk about what we thought it would be and what it's turned into, and even just why you decided to call me out of the blue, just two coaches from California, not even in the same part of California, and why this turned into be the podcast that it is. So, Steve, let me ask you a question before we get into all this. And we are going to talk about some of our favorite moments throughout this entire journey, but almost 3 years ago, you call me up, a coach for out of Simi Valley, which is outside of LA, kind of northern part of LA. And I'm in Southern California. So I'm in Orange County. So I'm about 45 minutes from LA. So we're not even in the same spot. We're about 3 hours apart from one another. And you say, hey, JT, you want to do a podcast? And I said, no, why would I do a podcast? And you say, well, listen, I am a radio guy and it's been my livelihood. And there is this equipment store down the way called On Track and Field. You've ever heard of it? I said, no, because I don't do business with them. I'm a track coach, but I didn't do business with them. I do exclusively now, but you said, I just bought them and I want to turn this company into a national brand. And Steve, I have to tell you, man, you've really done it. I know that was your vision. Your son works with you and you have another great group of people that work with you. It's a family owned thing, but you've turned On Track and Field and put it on the map. And people will rely on you getting them what they need at a good price. And that also goes for RelayBatons.com. I mean, I'm a recipient of a lot of the things that you've made. And my team has benefited from the blocks. Let's see, what else? The entire new hurdle set, a pole vault pit in the works now. We do have a high jump pit with the new weather cover right now. Countless batons, spikes, blocks, block carts, hurdle carts are my favorite. Steve, like, was that your envision at the very beginning when you bought On Track and Field and decided that this is going to be your livelihood now, your new career, even though you're a serial entrepreneur? I mean, why buy this company and then why ask me to even do a podcast?
Well, I was pretty involved in the space, right? With, you know, between being a head coach here in Simi Valley. This is my 17th year. I got into this because my son at a super young age was not interested in soccer. He got hit four times in one baseball game and he never wanted to step in the batter's box again. And so we put him in track, and luckily for me and him both, he had some speed and he went on to have a very good track career at the high school level. When he got into high school, they needed a sprints coach. And so I was like, yeah, I don't know anything about track. I didn't run track. I played baseball my whole life. So, you know, being involved with coaching, and then in 2015, we launched RelayBatons.com just as a cute little side business. And after the first year, realized that it could actually have a foothold in that space. And now I've got three people working for me full time. On top of that, we have four laser machines. And then my pole vault coach called me about a month into COVID, and his father, Ron Morris, owned On Track and Field. They'd been in business at that point 43 years, and they were struggling with COVID. He was looking to phase out. Ron was early 80s. He'd been doing it, like I said, 43 years. He was a silver medalist in the 1960 Olympics in pole vault. So it's all he's ever done. And he was looking to phase out, and COVID kind of made that happen a little sooner than I think he was ready, but they were looking to get out. And Brooks called me. He's like, look, man, my dad's, you know, looking to sell the business. Would you or somebody you know want to take it over? And I'm like, well, yeah, I'll have a conversation with him. So in December of 2020, we took it over. And I distinctly remember, I follow you on Twitter, and you do a great job with your social media and stuff, and all the marketing that you do with your team, all the swag that you put together, the shirts and uniforms and arm sleeves and everything is just really top notch. And it caught my attention. And when I first started thinking about doing a podcast, you were honestly the only person I thought of about reaching out to. And I remember cold calling you. Actually, I texted you or maybe shot you an email, go, hey, dude, you know, can you give me 5 minutes of your time? And you're like, sure. And so I'm pacing. I remember this distinctly. I'm walking back and forth in the old warehouse in Burbank, right across the street from the Burbank airport, and called you. And I'm like, look, dude, this is who I am. This is what I do. You know, you seem to be as passionate about your team and aesthetics and chemistry and all that as I am. You know, would you entertain doing a podcast with me? And there was a little bit of reluctance, I think, but you were keen to the idea. At least you were keen to the idea of thinking it over. And I'll never forget, we were getting off the phone. I'm like, look, let's think it over. You know, let me know what you think. And you said, I remember you saying, you know, this is not how I thought this conversation was going to go. So we hung up, and a couple of days later, or maybe a week, I don't even remember. We just started talking more logistics and, you know, what I envisioned for it to be short and sweet and to the point, none of this 2 or 3 hour garbage, you know, just to get in and get out. Which was perfect. And you nail it, man. I mean, now we're 100 episodes strong. And the reality is we actually probably are at 110 because we're sitting on a couple that you've already done. And as soon as we post this one this week, then we'll get the others up. And it's been awesome. I mean, you've been invited. We've been invited to Vegas. We sat with some of the best track athletes in the world. We sat with back in March, I think that was. I mean, how awesome was that?
Oh my gosh. I mean, life changing. So you invited me into the track and field world. We thought, hey, let's just make something that could be very educational. You basically, with all your knowledge in the radio space, people turn off podcasts 18 to 20 minutes. They'll come back and re-listen to it because people's commutes are only so long. Their workouts are always so long. And here's the reality is that people are going to turn off the podcast if they notice that it's too long. Most people don't come back. So we're like, well, let's make our format short. And because of that, it's easier to get guests. And it also has been easier to put a format out there. People are not going to stop and then try to do again. That has been really, really fun. But I'll tell you, it's super hard to stop talking to Johan Blake and Noah Lyles and Gabby. I mean, how am I supposed to stop talking to the most interesting people in the world? And on top of that, I realized real early in my coaching career that I'm not smart enough to basically know the things that I wish I knew to give my team the best chance to be successful. So I said, all right, I'm going to go out and be mentored because that's the only way. If people can start liking me enough, maybe they'll share some things with me. So I go out and I just basically, when I was 25 years old to now, I was taking people out for coffee, taking them out for a beer, taking them out for a burger, whatever I could just to learn. Well, you've basically have given me an opportunity to do that as a podcast with a platform, and everybody has a podcast. I understand that. And it's hard to ask people, hey, I have a podcast. You want to do it with me? They're like, yeah, you and everyone else in their mom's basement. However, we have been able to talk to some of the most amazing people who have ever done our sport. That's the coaches and the bio, you know, mechanists and the athletes and the people that do things like with their shoes. And I mean, it's so incredible to build these relationships with the people. And I mean, we're not going to slow down. So it'd be fun to continue this journey together. So at this time, I want to talk to you about some of your favorite moments, because you're the one that has to listen to each podcast, produce it, but make sure it sounds good, that I'm not popping my peas when I try to talk into this microphone that you bought me. And at the same time, every time someone says, you're going to take that out so you can make our guests sound good. Well, so just off the top of your head, what was one of your favorite guests that we have interviewed and you have listened to and produced and then we threw out into the world?
Noah, I mean, Noah was awesome.
Noah's so a big deal for us. People might be asking, how did you...
We've had him on twice.
And he's the reason we ended up in Vegas. People ask, how do you get these people? How do you even find them? Honestly, relentless DMing and Instagram and then leveraging relationships. You meet someone and you meet someone and then you meet someone, and there's no reason these people need to be talking to us, but they do. And now they're talking to one another and they're giving us credibility. I mean, we had Johan Blake in just because I met him in person and he decided, I'll do it. And I was, Steve, I was sweating because I'm trying to get the internet working in Jamaica. with, you know, with all kinds of VPNs and firewalls on a Zoom call, and it wasn't working. And then I thought, this guy's just going to say no. The second fastest man who's ever lived is just going to be like, yeah, it's not worth it. And he was patient and we got it working. Oh man, I've lost years of my life trying to get that one working.
Oh, it sounded great.
Oh man, and then we get Noah Lyles.
So great.
Who's the fastest American who's ever lived and arguably one of the fastest ever, probably number three fastest, greatest sprinter of all time. And we had him on not once, but twice, but there was an episode 82. He said some things he talked about, and he's so open. He talked about his anxiety and his depression, and he has a therapist because he's like, I get super, super nervous. Like, this guy gets nervous. It's not just my 14-year-old freshman that gets nervous, but he does too. He's human as well. And then there was a moment in, it was like, he said, it was like basically, I think 16 minutes in, he's like, this moment right now, this moment was created for me. Like in this moment, anything that's happened, everything that I've done to get here, I'm here and it's for me and it's my job just to enjoy it. And I was like, that is one of the best advice I've ever heard about the anxiety you have in the blocks. Pretty amazing to hear from a guy that is the best. And so I guess we'll also have him on multiple times again.
Let's hear that again though.
I've been started telling people that it's not about being, is the moment too big for you? It's the moment was created for you.
Own that.
Now use it.
That's good. That's good advice from any coach that's going to coach any athlete. Like, this is your moment. Don't let it get away from you because it's yours.
Yeah. It's nobody else's. Yep. It's yours.
Yeah. I mean, it was just you sitting talking with him. Like when we were in Vegas, we had him one-on-one and we were in that room. There was a lot of other people around and there were other people that were, you know, doing some podcasts. Most of them were just doing recordings.
Yeah, we were the only podcast
because
there was
the
New York Times or USA Today, rather NBC. And then a couple of reporters and then us in the corner. Yeah. And you had your engineer in Vegas. In the Caesar's Palace back ballroom, setting up an engineering station to make us look super legit with microphones. And every guest we had left saying, that was so much fun. It wasn't an interview.
Yeah,
because it was
legit.
Basically, it was you and I's fans. You and I also was smart enough to be pretty good darn track coaches. And we're talking to these people in their language. It wasn't just the same thing that NBC and USA Today is going to say. If we could record the things that were off podcast, I mean, this is not something that was on podcast, but Rob Benjamin gave us a play by play, second by second of his race against Carsten Warholm in the Olympics in Tokyo. And he was talking about every step of that race, like it just happened. And it was so incredible. I would never heard a story where I was so entrenched because I remember watching that just thinking, oh, you got it. He ran the second best time that's ever been run. And Carsten obviously ran the first. So incredible. But then there's also people that you're surprised by. Like Gabe Sanders, episode 35, was the coach, and he is the coach currently for Boston University. Incredible guy. But I have him on, and almost immediately, he starts fireballing, just like straight shooting all these ideas about how to make track more enticing to the world, how to make it like an English premier. Yeah. So I think it was minute 18, he starts talking about professionalizing the sport of track and field. And if Steve, if you can, just roll that clip.
You cannot grow a sport with eight people at a time at a macro level to grow. Like, we were lucky that Usain Bolt came along. We got lucky to have a personality and a figure like that to make the sport as popular as it was for that period of time in his career. We got lucky. At the end of the day, professional, like, we have professional models of sport that we choose to ignore. And every single year, there's the Stanley Cup, there's the World Series, there's the Super Bowl. So that's what I mean. In order for this sport to grow and in order for athletes to get more opportunities, we need to professionalize the sport and we need to go to a team model. And another controversial take, I think the professional future is indoor track and field, not outdoor track and field. Because in terms of media, there's a lot more flexibility in what you can do logistically. There's a lot more flexibility in what you can do graphically from a presentation standpoint. And you can make 2,000 to 3,000 people look like 20,000 to 30,000 people an indoor venue. And at the end of the day, where is the money in professional sports? Television, media, streaming. It's not the gate. It's not the prize money per se. Like, you know where, like, all the money comes from with salaries is TV deals.
Sometimes you get these guests and you don't know what you're going to get. You don't know what kind of person you're going to get. You don't know if they're going to be cool with you. If not, I mean, we had Carl Lewis on. We had, it's Carl Lewis, and he's also the head coach in Houston. Jeez. So you don't know if you're going to get the athlete, you're going to get the personality, you're going to get the coach. And he is very intimidating, even on a podcast. But what's cool is that I got to meet some of these people at Mount San Antonio College with my track team.
Oh, that's right.
You know, and because yep. they're there competing, they're there coaching. One of the people that really struck me was Dan O'Brien, Dan and Dave commercials. Dan, one of the best, you know, he was a decathlete, one of the best athletes in history of the world. And in episode, I think it was episode 62, he straight up and just said, "Oh, I get nervous." I mean, he's got to do 10 events and he has commercials. I mean, I bought Reebok pump. The Reebok pumps where you pump them up because was on a commercial and I was 12 and he was talking about, so a lot of people, my generation, Dan and Dave were the first introduction to the sport, and Dan was incredible. And if you can, he talked about being nervous in that episode. You got to play, for our audience.
Well, what's interesting is I want people to know that really from the time I started playing sports, you know, from little league baseball to high school basketball, to football, track and field, even at the elite level, I was always nervous. Okay. And we're supposed to be nervous. This is what our bodies are, you know, are prepared to do. You know, you put yourself in a pressure situation, your heart rate, you know, raises. This is our bodies preparing to fight or flight. All right. If you stop being nervous, then, you know, you're a piece of wood. All right. Mm. Actors, singers, you think Celine Dion said if she ever stopped being nervous before a performance, she was going to quit. That's the way we should feel. Before I give a speech, before I go out on stage, before I go on camera at the NCAA championships, boy, my heart's racing. We need to feel that stress and anxiety.
We had Shannon Thompson. Shannon Thompson is the NAU cross country team. And just recently, they both went 1-2. They won. They got first place for the boys, first place for the girls. They're both nationally ranked, both first place, which has never been done before. One school, both genders, same time, ranked number one in the United States. And Shannon Thompson is she's like the mental coach, the mental therapist. And she even runs with them and talks about them, about the anxiety, the depression, the things they have to go through. I don't know if you can find anything from her, but she's also going to be speaking at the Boulder Running Clinic in January, 2024. If you can find anything on her,
you're there. Aren't you too?
The plan's to be there, but we'll see. We'll see. I mean, getting out to Denver in January, I'm not sure it's going to vibe with my SoCalness.
Yeah. So here's a clip from Shannon.
Great.
I'd say if there's a way that, you know, my work differ maybe from many is I'm around the team a lot. Like I'm at practice a lot. Some of our talks are with me out running with them, or me on a bike beside them while they're running. So my work is pretty versatile in that way. I know I'm not the only one who does like walk talks, or, you know, I've even heard of other people who do run talks, but I think it's a more rare way of having those conversations. And then also I go to a lot of meets. So I'm around a lot. So that's probably the main difference between maybe my role with NAU and some other schools. But for all I know, there might be other people in my role who operate very similar.
I'm a hurdle coach, and being a hurdle coach, I constantly am walking up to my athletes and saying, "Who's your favorite hurdler?" And 5 years ago, they'd be like, "I don't know." What did you do this sport? You love this sport and you don't know who your favorite athlete is? That's a problem. So now they're saying things like, "Oh, Devin Allen."
Yeah.
And they're saying things like, you know, Grant Holloway and Daniel Roberts, but you know who I get the most? I get Trey Cunningham, because Trey is a guy that looks like them. You know, he's a skinny white kid and he can fly. And so I had him on the podcast before he was really kind of in the national spotlight in the sport. And then we were lucky enough to meet him in person. And Trey is fun. And if you listen to the podcast, it's number 83, episode 83. He and I, you can tell right off the bat that we have a rapport. It almost feels like we're friends because we've had him on twice and we're going to have him on again. He started out pretty bored, it looked like, because he was just doing these media days over and over and over again. And then we had him on and I literally am like, all right, so Whataburger or In-N-Out? And I thought I set him up with a nice little like alley-oop. And that dude said, Whataburger. And so I was like, that's it. Podcast is over.
Not very many people will say In-N-Out is overrated, but Trey did.
Well, I mean, you know, how much wisdom and discernment do you need to do 7 steps to the first hurdle? I would say none, but that's okay. So Trey's been cool because he's helped me realize that if you want to make someone faster in the hurdle races, whatever race it is, you got to make them faster. It's not about technique. It's not about form. Those things are very valuable, but we know it's the number one thing. It's about running fast. And I think it was minute 8. He starts talking about, hey, just make your kids faster. And if you can take anything from this podcast, any like knowledge or learning or takeaways, just listen to Trey. Trey breaks it down and makes it simple. And he's like, just make them fast. That's all you have to do. And he said it just kind of in that kind of real confident, arrogant, cool Trey way, which I'm a huge fan of. It's so hard not to be a fan of his. When you think about speed, you and I were goofing off right before a podcast. And I don't know if Steve's going to say what you and I were saying before we started the podcast. It was fun. I made a joke. I'm like, hey, how do you make kids 3-step? And you're like, make them faster. Well, of course, you know, I 100% agree. In fact, I don't let slow kids hurdle. They have to run with me first.
Yeah.
In high school, did you develop a lot of speed and are you still developing speed? I mean, what does workouts look like when there's no hurdles in the way?
So I do a lot of sprint workouts. I don't hurdle that much. Like we're doing 15-second 150s, 26-second 250s at the end of practice. So it's more about making sure I'm ready to run really fast, regardless of where we're at in the season, because there's only so few moments in professional track. Like I'm supposed to race at the Diamond Leagues and there's only 8 for each discipline.
Well, at Florida State, you ran a lot. You ran a lot.
Not really. I didn't run that.
I feel like when I look at your, like...
I didn't run that much last year.
Oh, no? Not last year?
No, I only did 4 or 5 races indoors. And then I only did, like, 11 outdoors.
Are we ever going to see you just hop in 100 to see where you're at?
Maybe in 2026 when there's no medals on the line.
As a track coach, I'm trying to push my athletes to colleges, and I constantly ask the same question to college coaches. What are you looking for in a recruit? You know, it's very boring, but Edric Floreal, the University of Texas coach, said something so fascinating. I actually think about it all the time. And I said, all right, real quick, it was like 3 minutes into the podcast, maybe 4. And I was like, what do you look for in a recruit? And he's like, I look for how the athletes interact with their parents on these recruiting trips. And the way they treat their parents, the way they talk to their parents, the way they communicate, look them in the eye, the way that they're affectionate with them, all those things mean that's the type of person they are, and that's how they're going to interact with us. And I thought that was really profound, especially coming from arguably the best coach in the United States. Can you roll that clip? I would love for the audience to hear what he had to say.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, you can see it during the visit. Now, you can see the way they could interact with their parents. However they interact with their parents, that's how they're going to interact with you. I mean, if they're rude to their parents, why should you expect a complete stranger that they're going to be polite and respectful to me? So if they're rude to their parents, if they're mistreating their parents, if they're misbehaving around somebody who's raised them all their life, you should expect that same behavior. I think human nature is such that we think certain behaviors of humankind, we're going to be exempt to that. However a person acts towards friends or foe, that's how they're going to act towards you. So you can pay attention and see how they act, see how they behave with their teammates. If the athlete comes and they want everybody to bow down to them, that's how they're going to be when they get to your program. They're not going to change, not because you're some guru. I mean, the ability to change a human being when they're sitting in their ways is just impossible.
We've done a lot of clips. We've kind of, I mean, how do you stop and look at all 100 episodes and think, I love this moment, I love this moment? Yeah. Well, you know, if you're listening, please just go to social media, go to Twitter, Coach JT Ayers, or On Track and Field, or Coach _ Ayers. We're all on Instagram and Twitter. Reach out to us and tell us your favorite episode, your favorite moment. That means the world to us, because these are things that we can rerun and even have these guests back if we know they're popular. Guys like Kurt Hines, who's a football coach in Coronado Island. That guy is just, if you watch his social media, he's just a raging, crazy, encouraging man that I as a dad who has sons, I want to be like him. You know, I want to really understand that building individual relationships with your athletes is so important. You can learn that, even though it's an On Track and Field podcast, you can learn that from a football coach in, you know, San Diego, very, very bottom of San Diego, next to the Marine base. Guys like Craig Engels. Craig is hilarious. And him and I, our whole podcast, episode 81.
Such a stud.
Dude, nonstop just being goofy, because that guy is a walking personality. On, you know, track and field is about people and about personalities. And I had never have coached or been a part of a sport, which it was so easy to see people and the way they are and who they are. And I think it's an amazing sport, and I'm really, really, you know, fortunate to be a part of it. I love what we've done, Steve. We started off saying, hey, let's just make a podcast and see, like, we can get, you know, On Track and Field's name out there. And now we're talking to the best people, and we're one of the best track and field podcasts out there. And we'll continue just to bring great content. Right now we have some amazing in the hopper, so to speak. We have some incredible guests that are going to be dropping just in the next couple of weeks. And it sounds like we're going back to Vegas in February. So, you know, get your Southwest ticket. That's now, awesome. Steve-O. Yeah. We're going.
I'm in.
So before we wrap up, Steve, anything you want to add, anything you want to challenge me with, anything you want to ask me, or even just bring and highlight some of the things we've done with this podcast?
You know, I mean, it's been a great fit. I'm looking forward to the next 100 episodes.
Man, I'm looking forward to talking to these people, and I'm looking forward to you sending me some money for doing the episode. So I appreciate all of it. So does my family. Absolutely. We try to buy some In-N-Out and Chick-fil-A every once in a while, and that thing's expensive. Well, to all the guests that have ever been on this podcast, you know, the coaches and like the Brian Fitzgeralds and the Brian Weavers and the Ernie Clarks and the Bob Thurnhoffers and on and on and on. We're so grateful for your willingness to share some of your wisdom. We're grateful for just being who you are. I mean, this is a very unrelenting, very underpaid and thankless job for the most part, but these people are in love with something that we're in love with. And if you're listening to this podcast, and if you listen to any of the 100 episodes at all, you're in love with it too. Just like us, you're one of us. And so, you know, that this sport, there's nothing like it. It's the best sport in the world. Football might be the best game in the world, but track and field is the best sport in the world. And we're excited for the next 100, to echo what Steve said. So I need to say it like I always do. This is impossible to do without On Track and Field. That Steve Ringgold and his family basically are running this whole thing. So go to ontrackandfield.com, check them out. They have what you need for everything. And you don't even have to be a track coach. In fact, go there and just buy some shoes, buy some Topo shoes. Cause we had that, we had Mr. Russell on, and he talked about Topos and why they're so great. And then my wife went and ran and qualified for Boston Marathon wearing those shoes. So if she can do it, she's a stud, but if she can
so
do
awesome.
It, all of you can do it. Buy some good shoes, Topo shoes. So relaybatons.com also powers this. And you know what? I'm just going to say it because I love making fun of Steve. Steve, you and your beautiful voice and even larger triceps, would you take us away one last time for the first century mark, the 100th podcast of the On Track and Field podcast?
Thanks for joining us on this, the 100th episode of the On Track and Field Podcast. The On Track and Field Podcast is powered by RelayBatons.com. Custom engraved meet and competition legal relay batons. Perfect for team swag, team branding, coaches gifts, meet awards, athlete recognition, and custom engraved water bottles and tumblers. The perfect Christmas or Hanukkah gift. And by OnTrackAndField.com. Track and Field and Cross Country's go-to place for everything you need for a successful season and training. And now, check out our Made in the USA pole vault pits and high jump pits. Custom made with school colors and team logos. Designed by jumpers for jumpers. And make sure to check us out on our socials at OnTrack, the letter N, Field on Twitter and the Gram.